Welcome to Moms in the Wild with Kate
and Kara,
where we laugh at our wild moments to make you feel better about yours.
Hi friends, before we get into this episode, we just wanted to come on and wish you all a very happy holiday season. We are so grateful for you and that you keep continuing to give us a shot every single week. We hope that you survive this arguably most wild time of being a parent and that you enjoy the time with your family and friends. We are certainly grateful for you this holiday season, and we hope that part two of this episode gives you a chance to maybe sneak away, have a little moment to yourself, or just give you the levity that we all need during this time. So that being said, thank you again for listening. Have a great holiday, and we'll catch you in the new year. Okay, on to part two of the episode with Shay.
Something like another expectation. I didn't have an expectation before this, but the notion of sensory overload.
Oh,
like
God.
I had never experienced sensory overload before I had a child. And it really, I think I'm at the highest right now, because like we'll have the TV on or he'll be playing with a toy that's super loud. And then my husband's trying to talk to me and then I'm doing the dishes. So I'm like tactily doing something. And then he comes up and tries, you know, swing on my foot, because that's something we do now. And it's like, the sensory overload gets insane. And that was something I didn't prepare for. I literally have to like shush whatever I can shush that's in my power, whether it's like, we will talk later to my husband, turn off this TV, like kill the toy. I don't care. Smash it with a fucking brick at this point. Like I have got to like start turning off these channels, you know? And that's something that starts when they're a baby, because the newborns, like you said, they're a baby. Their job is to scream and wail and like make it known. So like, you can't turn that off. I can turn off, you know, if I'm wearing a shirt that's uncomfortable, even stuff like that, you know, like taking that shirt off. But yeah, that was also something that in, especially like newborn, and then now for some reason, it's kind of amped back up, which is just, it's the idea of being touched out, but also all of my senses are just very, very sensitive.
Yeah, like a nerve ending. So like you said, like anything volume wise or hearing wise, where I feel like my senses are turned up to about 10 all the time, where I like, I guess I'm not filtering anything out anymore, which may be an instinct of a parent now, where it's like constant threat. You have to be ready for everything, but I'm smelling everything. I'm seeing everything. I'm hearing everything. I'm just very aware of it.
I find that too. And I find now I used to be pretty good with quiet. Like I enjoyed quiet and like I could sit in that for a while. And now I find if it's quiet for too long, I'm like,
oh yeah,
it's jarring.
Yeah.
It's jarring to me, to where I have to like, I should just like, you know, journal or something. And instead I'm like, no, podcast, watch something. Like I can't, I find it very hard to sit in a quiet moment where it's probably what I need, but like, I really fight that.
That was something too, that you just reminded me of when you said like, I should journal or sit in this quiet. It's something that I really felt guilty about, is that when I would have moments, I just wanted to turn off. Where before, when I had moments, I'd be like wanting to go on a run or maybe do some yoga or like read or journal or do something that was more holistic or engaging. Now, when definitely in newborn stage, and even now when I have quiet time, it's like I turn myself off, which is usually like TV where I'm just like, and I melt into this blob of a person. I was having a conversation with Chris, which is like, it'd be nice if I engaged in literally anything at one time, but I just don't really have an interest to do that.
I'd like to validate you here like a quick minute, because I, and my child, like I said, is 2.5, almost, he'll be 3 in February, just like this past month have taken nap time and been done something productive. When I tell you, like, I was physically, mentally, emotionally incapable of doing that, or like any quiet time, I did the same thing as you. I would just like shut my brain off and like, no, I'm just not doing anything. I have to just have this time to recharge. So I want to validate you in that. And also like,
Thank you.
You will get that back. Like, it's just now happening for me. And like this month where like I'm taking nap time and I'm like on my exercise bike and like, I'm still watching TV, you know, but like, I'm like doing stuff for the pod on my phone, but I'm like doing things to like nurture myself. And that comes back.
That feels good, because I follow way too many people on Instagram who are like sitting under waterfalls as
parents. Or like doing yoga with their kid who's like, you know, 18 months old. And I'm like, wow, what's that like? Because I don't picture that like happening.
Trying to do a downward dog as your child pulls your boob out of
out to nurse. Yeah. Or like rips your hair out and looks you right in the eyes and goes, huh?
One thing I was just thinking of for the early stage is one thing I was really unprepared for was how many bodily issues a newborn can have. It was like one medical mystery after another. Like at first the eyes were crusted completely shut and looked like conjunctivitis.
Yep.
Like 4 days in, I'm like, what? I already screwed you
up. Is this okay?
And then walking around which by the way, that's called a clogged eye duct. It's like a clogged tear duct. And if you put breast milk into it, it like solves it. So that's like a fun
nice.
Thing.
Yeah. Really yeah, anything breast milk.
Yeah. Squirt it right into the eye.
Right like, into the baby's eye. And which I bet was not an expectation you had, which is when my baby's about 40 days old, I'm going to express breast milk directly into his eyes. Yeah.
No.
Expectation versus reality.
Then I was also walking him around in the dead heat of Florida in his full like jammy outfit in 90 degree weather. And then like I'd come home and I'd undress him and he had this like red rash all over. I'm like, what is going on? So finally, like I send a picture to like my midwife and she's like, yeah, I think he has like heat rash all over him. I'm like, that makes sense because he's on my body in a full pajama set in 90 degree weather. Okay. So not going to do that anymore.
Oh, gosh.
And then, you know, the healing belly button and cradle cap, which is like dinosaur scales all over their head that you have to like brush out and shampoo. I mean, it's like, it's wild. I feel like I was like WebMDing something every like 5 seconds to figure it out.
My child had thrush for easily 6 weeks to 6 months, which is not something I expected, which should have been predicted because I was strep B positive. So we both were on antibiotics. I was on antibiotics as I was going into labor. So she was still attached, umbilical cord and all. That experience. I wish one person had looked at me and been like, maybe start a probiotic with little one. All right. Because there's going to be some stuff happening. And instead I was just like, my nipples are not a normal amount of on fire. And my lactation consultant was like, ooh, honey, do I have terrible news for you? 6 months, six. Well, she was 6 months old. So just under 6 months, 6 weeks Jeez. And 6 months. Yeah.
Oh. Is this bridging into the please stop?
Really quick. I do have something.
Okay, go.
I thought it was interesting when Shay was talking about being 4 weeks old and having the crested eyes and something you said, which was, how did I already mess you up? And I just, it like something popped in my brain and I was like, you know, who would never say that? The dad. You know, like if my husband saw something wrong with our 4 week old, he'd never be like, how did I mess up? You know, like, but that's something like, I feel like as moms, I would do the same thing. I literally do it every single day where I just put that on myself where I'm like, this thing has happened and it's my fault. And like, no, it's not, you know, but like, why do we assign that to ourselves? I guess because like, it's the natural thing your brain wants to do is like assign blame, but like, let's please stop that.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder if it's because they were like inside you, if you're someone that birthed them and so you like still feel that attachment of I'm responsible for things that happen to your body, which only in regards to caregiving, like meaning I change your diaper and I feed you, but really not like we can't control clogged ducts. I would have done the same thing though. I would have been like, I done fucked up now. Like I wouldn't have been like, oh, it's a clogged duct.
Well, I can
cried.
You, Kara, when you said on one podcast, when someone else was holding him, it felt like it was holding they were holding your arm or your leg. Like, well, I think I still feel that way with my son where like, if we're apart for too long or if something's going on, it really feels like an extension of myself. And somebody once said, having a child is like having a part of your heart live outside of your body. And that's really what it feels like. He feels like such an extension of me, even though that sounds like a weird thing to say. Just, I don't know. It's really hard to explain.
No, I think you're doing a good job though, is it does feel like, and I think that's why a lot of times the birthing person takes on responsibility of physical ailments of the child. It's because it's like, you still feel that extension where Chris feels very connected to her, but I don't think he never viewed her as a part, meaning an organ or like something, an organ. I don't want to, that's dehumanizing, not an organ, but like literally they were like a part of your body. And so think that feeling continues to, when things physically go wrong, it's like, oh my God, why didn't I see this? Why didn't I feel this? It's like, yeah, because you don't actually live in their body, then they don't live in yours anymore. But it still feels that.
They cry. This is like another thing. I've heard other kids cry, and somebody did try to prepare me for this, but when you hear your kid crying, and not just crying because you learn the different cries, but the cry of like when they're hugging you and it's like they're trying to go back into your body. Like they're like, this is too, like they're like squeezing you and they're
so overwhelmed.
And, you know, my son will get to the point where he actually throws up, which is a terrible thing. He has a sensitive gag reflex. Again, every kid's different. And this is just nothing I ever heard about that we had to navigate. But I think that what that does to you is like, it's like a mom guilt on fire, because you're like, you can never explain to someone what it feels like that your responsibility and your longing to take care of them comes from the fact that they are on this planet because you chose to bring them into this world. So like, my longing to make whatever I can to control whatever I can for the short period of his life that I can make a difference in this way, to give him as many good days as possible, is so real for me. It's so like my priority every single day, because the world right now is a burning
horrifying dumpster fire. Yeah.
And knowing that one day I'm going to have to just release him into that, and I lose a little bit of that ability to soothe what I can for him, is on my mind constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly. Yeah.
I describe that all the time to people, where like, when I've had pushback of when it looks like I'm ruining my life to make my baby be comfortable, people are like, why is she still contact napping? And I'm like, middle finger to you. But there are so many times that she's going to be uncomfortable and I will have no control over it. There are times now where she's uncomfortable and I really don't have much control over it. I have to change the woman's diaper and she doesn't love it. She doesn't love, still doesn't love a diaper change. I like you said, Shay, hates the car seat. There are times we have to go places. Yeah. There are so many times where she has to be uncomfortable and I really can't do anything about it. If there are moments that I can have her be comfortable, I will always choose that. And definitely now, and that may be an indefinite thing, but there, you know, this is such a short period of their lives and our lives, and it does suck. It, like, if this podcast, this episode says anything, is it does suck a lot of the time. It sucks the actual life out of you, and it does suck a lot of the time, but it is such a short time. And so if I can allow her to be comfortable the most possible, because at some point I am going to have to be like, bye. You have a go. That's the whole point of having you, so that we release you into the world. Fly, baby. But then there's a lot of times where I won't be able to soothe her or comfort her really in any way, because then she has to do that for herself and build a system of support and other people that do that. So I will be holding her for contact naps until she's 16, if she'll let me.
It's also that idea of like, they're going to be around people who don't love them as much as we do. So like, that is also scary. You know,
like, and that is scary to think one day they will have another woman in their life that they love to do that. Woo!
Don't even talk about that.
Or anyone, or anyone in general. Exactly. Yeah. I know people that love my child.
Anyone.
Yeah.
No, I mean, as long as they love you back.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I hate thinking about that.
Just the fact you have to share them. It's a beautiful thing and it's a hard thing.
I struggle with that now though. So I can't imagine when they're older, I'm gonna be like, yay. Like right now I'm like, it really bums me out that other people get to spend time with you. But also I don't want to spend all my time with you. What a conundrum.
That's what I mean. The paradoxes and the dualities that come with, it's just endless.
Yeah. Like, touch me all the time and be on me all the time, but never touch me ever again is how I feel like chronically. Like, well,
at least if you're going to nurse on me, don't use your other little hand to like tweak my other nipple.
Yeah. Or put your hand in my mouth or be twerking while my nipple's still in your mouth. Cause only one thing at a time.
I was talking to Bubba the other day about the like notion of being married. Cause it was on one of the cartoons. There was like a wedding and he was like, what's that? And I was like, well, it's a wedding. That's when two people, you know, want to be together forever. Sometimes they decide to have a wedding and get married. And, you know, I said, Daddy and I are married. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, my parents are here. I was like, Gaga and Pop are married. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, you can get married too someday if you want. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, do you want to? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh. So I'm thinking like, this is the moment where he's going to be like the best, like cutest kid ever. So who do you want to marry? Thinking like he's going to say me, right? And he goes, Mimi, who's my friend Kim that he's hung out with one time in his whole life. He goes, Mimi.
He was really like, made an impact.
Yeah, right. She was great.
She spent a whole weekend, but like, come, I've known you your whole life.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that girl had some good snacks, okay?
Yeah.
to his credit, Kimmy is great.
Oh, she's liquid sunshine.
She's a dream.
So. She's a great choice, but I was so upset.
Oh, yeah, I would have been upset. I definitely would have been upset.
Anyways.
So let's segue into this please don't, or please stop. Please stop, right? What do we call this segment? Please stop. Please stop. Where am I? Who am I?
What podcast is this?
Am I or am I? Okay. So this please stop is please stop telling people that breastfeeding is pure magic and the most connected you will ever feel to your child, because I would like to call bullshit on all of that, saying that it will be like that all the time, at least. Does anyone want to start us off? We have three women here who have breastfed, and I think everyone has had an interesting experience with it.
I will start us off just because I don't have a lot to say, because as I mentioned in my wild mom moment, I only breastfed for 3 months because it was because of a lot of things. A pandemic happened right after I had my newborn, so I was a little bit stressed. I have a thyroid disorder that it was just, I learned after I stopped breastfeeding, it could have an impact on milk supply and being able to produce. And I never had a magical moment breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And it was really something at 3 months. We always had to supplement with formula. I never made enough milk for him. And it was when I was spending like an hour and getting a total of 1 ounce of milk from my body that I looked at my husband and I was like, if I keep doing this, I don't want to be on this planet anymore. And I was like, mm-hmm. dead serious. Like, yep. And that was something that we had to prioritize my mental health, and I quit. And it wasn't hard for me because, like I said, it was barely making any milk. But then I had a lot of guilt of I failed my kid, because breast milk is so wonderful and magical and great. And, you know, so that was kind of my short, like, quickie notes experience with breastfeeding. But I'm right there with you, girl. It is not magical. It is hard as hell. I had told every like pregnant person that like breastfeeding is a literal war in the beginning.
Yeah. And I'm so happy that you talked about like your body's ability or inability, whatever you want to call it, to make milk. Cause no one really talks about that ever. I had a coworker who like guilted herself so much, and it was a lactation consultant that came into the house to be like, your body's just not going to make enough milk. So like, that doesn't mean you need to stop. That's totally up to you, but you will need to supplement because your body, she has PCOS.
I have PCOS too.
PCOS. Yeah. Okay. And so that was greatly affecting her body's ability to make milk, enough milk, at least to be able to satiate her child. But it took, you know, like weeks for her to get that validation of you're not failing. It's nothing that you are doing. You have very little control over this currently in this time and the situation, and supplementing is great. You know, like you want your kid to be fed. I agree with that. When people say like fed is best or whatever it is, not that that even needs to be a thing, because it just counters like breast is best. I think breast milk is great and it's wonderful. Shay, I know you're a lactation consultant, so you may be hating everything I'm saying or loving it. Who knows? I think that breast milk is great if you're able to give your child any amount of breast milk, whatever way it comes. You latch them, a bottle, you syringe it into their mouth. Great. Awesome. If that's not for you, I also think that's great. I wish that I was at all mentally prepared. Like, it's so scary. You don't know. So I was very attached to the notion that I was going to breastfeed after the baby got here. Before the baby got here, Chris and I went out and we bought formula. You know how people like send you free samples of formula too? Yeah. We had formula. We had all the stuff. We had the bottles. We had everything, depending on which way it went. I was open to whatever. I was so hyper fixated after the baby was here that I was going to breastfeed to a very not mentally healthy extent, that it was, like you described it, Kate, a war. It was just every day. And I remember, I think I described it to both of you as you were supporting me through this very trying time of early newbornhood, where you have to feed the baby 12 times a day minimum, right? Yeah. So like that baby's eating every 2 hours at least. I genuinely, for the first 6 weeks of this child's life, felt like I was failing at something 12 times a day. Can you, what else would you do that you felt you were failing at 12 times a day and continue to do it for just 6 weeks on end? Probably nothing. You'd be like, oh, I got to call it at some point. And it goes back to kind of the theme of this episode too, which is you know, I had to seek out a lactation consultant. I'm very lucky that I have Shay in my life. I'm very lucky that I have moms that had worked with lactation consultants in the past. No one gave me like a card or information when I left the hospital. I sought them out. I went through two before I found one that I liked. And then she journeyed with me through 6 weeks of intense craziness at postpartum. Caitlin, you got to meet the yes. one that like really turned things around for me. But it wasn't until 6 weeks that I felt like things clicked. And that's a long time to feel like you don't know what you're doing. And it was just absolute hell the entire time that I was trying to figure out how to latch this baby. I've watched probably 85 hours of YouTube videos of how to properly latch a child.
Can I sidebar really quickly?
Yeah, yeah.
And say the weirdest, wildest thing I've ever seen in my life was when I met that lactation consultant, when she literally had Caro get naked, like from top, all of her top was off. And she was like, put the baby on your chest. Okay. So the baby was naked. Caro was naked. And I'm just sitting there like, wow, this is great. And
Kate was like, Kate hasn't seen me in 6 weeks. She'd not seen me the entire time that I've been postpartum. This was her first time to be like, can I come over and help? And I said, yes, please. And she walked in and
I'm here to hold a baby.
Boobies out. And she was like, what is happening?
No, it wasn't just there to hold a baby, but yeah. So she puts the baby on her chest. Everyone's naked. And
the lactation consultant was also naked.
Yeah. I had to get naked. It was like a thing. We all had to be in solidarity. So she put the baby on her chest, and I shit you not, the child moved from the center of Caro's chest to one of her boobs, latched, and started eating.
And latched correctly. Yes.
It was primal. That shit was like Neanderthal shit. It was amazing. It was the coolest, weirdest, wildest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Had told me to do that up until that point? Fucking no one. So no one at the hospital, no one on YouTube, no one on Instagram, not a single person went, just get nudie with your baby and let them figure it out. Everyone was like, throw your baby's head as hard as
pinch
you can.
Pinch your boob,
make it into a football or something else weird shape. Take your nipple like and throw your kid's head at it just vigorously so their mouth is open. I was fighting a child. I was fighting an infant the whole time. Yeah.
There's so many things. I mean, I think that first and foremost, with all the, you know, obviously I have some background in lactation consulting and training, but I think the most important thing to say is the term breast is best, while I understand where it's coming from, is not inclusive to everyone's individual journey. And I think to say anything is, like we've talked about in this podcast, across the board best for anyone is so damaging and hurtful, because there's no way it can be. Because people know someone's life circumstance. There's people who have trauma. The most important thing is for a mom's mental health, which is already something that doesn't get enough attention in postpartum, to be supported. And I think there's not enough support postpartum. There's definitely not enough support, education, and knowledge around breastfeeding. And it's a huge passion for me, because the expectation that you should just know how to do it is so wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or that it's going to be easy.
It's a skill.
Yep.
And I think there's some amazing things about breastfeeding. Like the reason she was able to find your nipple is because the scent of the nipple is the same scent as the amniotic fluid that she has surrounding her in the womb. So that's why they're drawn to the scent of the nipple and can find it in self-latch. It's one of the only skills that they have straight out of the womb.
Why she wasn't enjoying me thrusting her face, and also speaks to her as like a person, right? She doesn't like to be restrained. She doesn't like to be tied into things. Mm-hmm. So as I'm like cradling her head, trying to get to my boob, she's probably like, I would like to invite you to fuck right off. I don't need this. Just put me near your boob and I'll figure it out, you nut. And I was like, no, football holds. This is how we
look. Yeah. It's such a dance between the baby and the mother and, you know, all the life circumstances that are going on. And I guess just speak to my experience, I had, you know, training and knowledge and education around breastfeeding. I still got clogged ducts during my pregnancy.
Wow. Which I didn't know could happen. I was not aware that.
Neither did I.
Yeah.
But imagine doing a cell, like just washing and you feel a lump, like pea size in your breast while you're pregnant and you're like, what's going on that wasn't there that I remember. And, you know, thankfully it's just a clogged duct, but that happened to me multiple times throughout my pregnancy and postpartum. I got like really, really engorged, which is when your milk comes in and it's different for everyone. Some people a little bit like it's very like gradual. Some people wake up and they're like have boobs that are 10 times the size that they were when they went to bed that night. And then it's this huge dance of like keeping your supply and regulating your supply and not getting an oversupply by like pumping too much, but your boobs are engorged and hot and achy and baby's getting like a tapped keg of like milk squirting all over them. And then maybe has like reflux. And like, it's this huge thing that like, I genuinely don't know how people who don't have lactation support figure it out.
I absolutely agree with that. It was life. It was honest. Like I would not have, and I love breastfeeding now. And I have continued to like at week six, I started loving it, but that was, I would say pretty much 100% because of this lactation consultants that I met with and that support that I got after the hospital. And the lactation consultants at the hospital were great, but like, I did not absorb even an audicum of information that they were trying to tell me. And also they were telling me different stuff. Like it sounded like they didn't, the nursing staff was telling me to do one thing. They were telling me to do the other, another thing saying, you know, we'll have to re-educate the nursing staff a little bit. This isn't correct. And, you know, I did just push the baby out of my vagina like minutes ago. So none of it was being absorbed. I actually watch pictures of her or watch videos of her first latching. And I'm like, no wonder my nipples were bleeding. Like that, it was not a latch. It was like a nipple barely in her mouth. And she's trying to eat the poor thing.
And when you work with someone, I mean, because like think of, okay, well, it's like so many thoughts in my brain that are all trying to come out at the same time because there's so much around breastfeeding. But if somebody, the permission to let someone say it's hard is like so important because those first few weeks, few months, really 3 months are building this skill, which is like a long time though to be feeding something minimum every 2 hours. Mm-hmm. My son wanted to latch to me, would only sleep with my nipple inside of his mouth, like insane. Like if it even like came out a half an inch, he would like wake up.
Girl, same.
And so I would like sleeping was like me on edge, like trying to not have my boobs slip at all so that he could stay asleep. But like, I think of like, if say someone got their dream job as like a doctor, actor, whatever your dream job is. And like your expectations, like you're so happy for them because they just had this amazing thing happen to them. But like, if you heard their work schedule was like, oh, I have to be up every 2 hours to do this thing. And like, I barely get to wash myself or eat, or like I don't sleep more than an hour and 45 minutes for 3 months. Like people would be genuinely concerned about these work conditions.
You call like Better Business Bureau. Like you wouldn't be like, oh, this is an acceptable form of like, you'd be like, there's labor laws. You idiot.
I get you like this job. I'm so happy for you. But like, what the fuck?
Are you being held hostage? I blink twice. Are you okay?
As a new mother, you're just like, yeah, I guess like, people have done this before, right? So like, this is normal. And it's like, it's insane. It's like, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. And that's why I think it's something that like needs support, because it's a really hard thing to do. It's a lot on your body. It's a lot mentally. It's a lot hormonally. It's a whole thing that can build to being an amazing, like there are genuinely times I feed my child now still at 17 months for breastfeeding. And I'm like, this is like really great that my boob solves 99% of your problems. Like this is like an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And I do love the journey that we've been on with breastfeeding. But when I tell you, like, I feel so lucky that I had the information I had going into it, because I mean, I still got mastitis 2 weeks in. With all the information I had a fever, mastitis, I was on an antibiotic, like postpartum. And like, luckily I knew what it was, but like, this is something that you like, it's get support as early as you can. If you realize you're having like a hard time, that's like my main, don't like struggle. Don't tell yourself like, it's going to get better. It really shouldn't be painful for more than like 2 weeks. If you're still having pain and you're still starting to have a low supply, like reach out to someone, because it shouldn't be something you have to figure out by yourself.
And like with anything, my advice on top of that would be find someone that you like, because the first lactation consultant that we brought in, it just didn't work. You know, it's like with any therapist or doctor, she was fine. She was very nice, but it felt like a just review of the information. And she was in the house after I'd been home for about 48 hours, because I was like, it's so hard to breastfeeding, because I have no idea, or I felt like I had no idea if the baby was getting food. So like the weighted feed was super helpful to my peace of mind, being like, I know for a fact that something came out of me and you received that. And you're building that new relationship with this new person. And it sounds like Shay, that my baby, you know, is a lot like yours, which I know we've talked about before, but she wanted to be feeding all the time. She wanted to be latched all the time. And I just didn't fully understand that at first, that she wasn't necessarily screaming, crying because she was hungry. She just was really using the nipple as a, soothing as well. And I was just like, she's not getting anything. Like there's no way she wants to be latched all the time, but she just did. For the first 2 weeks, she really just wanted to be latched all the time. It had nothing to do with eating. But it took me 6 weeks in to have a lactation consultant say, you know, a lot of it is comfort. Like, don't think that because you unlatch her, or she's been latched for however long, that she's not eating. She may not be eating. She's soothing now at this point. And it took so long into breastfeeding to be able to figure that out, that the whole time for a really long time, I was just like, she's not getting any food. Like she's just not getting food. And the anxiety behind that of, I have no idea how much she's eating.
That's a huge part of it, is like, is my baby gaining weight? Is my baby growing? Is my baby hungry? Am I able to provide this for my child? Mm-hmm. And when you work with a lactation counselor, and this is like a side note, so there's there's certified lactation counselors, and then there's IBCLCs. Yes. So they're different. That's an international board certified lactation counselor. So I would say if you're struggling with a latch and maybe like supply and like discomfort, a lactation counselor is really good. If you're struggling with supply and like it's getting to the point where you want to keep trying breastfeeding, but they want to do some formula because your baby's not gaining weight, maybe an IBCLC is the way to go. Cause they have a little bit more knowledge around like how to do different things with pumping and still doing breast. Like they're just like the go-to person that has a lot of tools and tricks. But I think that it's like with them wanting to feed so much, an interesting thing is like they're carry mammals. That's what babies are. And it's like, I love this one fact. I probably told you this, Kara, but like they studied breast milk in mammals, and they looked at an animal that leaves their young really early, like say like a wolf that has to go out and hunt to provide for itself and its family. So they leave them for hours at a time. So they have really high protein levels in their breast milk because the baby has to stay full for longer. And so that kind of like gives you an idea of how long the baby can be left by how high the protein levels are in that mammal's milk. So we have even less protein in our milks than the animal on the mammal food chain that does, which is a kangaroo.
Just literally, there's a pouch.
Of a kangaroo, and how often they carry around and nurse their child. It's constant.
Oh my God.
Because they're carry mammals. So our babies are the same, because our hips aren't wide enough to give birth to what's considered like an independent or fully formed infant. Like you see like how an elephant can join a herd straight away. It's walking, it's functioning. It's like an independent, even though it's still a baby, it's able to like function independently. And you see, you know, our infants are completely helpless. So they're in the world, but they're not ready to be off of the parent. So I think that that's such a helpful thing to know, to like put into your mind of like why they need you so much, why they want you so much, because it's a survival instinct that when they're on you, they're safe. If they're put down on their backs, they're vulnerable to the world. And, you know, we're still like have these animal instincts, even though we're like human. So I think that for me was like a really interesting thing. And even to know like at nighttime, your breast milk switches to have the highest level of protein to help them get through the night. Whereas you during the day, if you're walking them around and it's hot, it switches to like a more hydration form of like, it changes and it like works with them. And it's like the symbiotic relationship that's so interesting. But like, why do we not learn this? Why do we not know this? Like what? Like
it's I didn't know that till way after birth. Like I had no idea. The coolest thing ever that anyone, I think to this day, still has ever told me, we were in the hospital and I was holding you know, babes, and they were doing whatever they're doing right after you give birth. And then I she was asleep, handed her off to Chris, and Chris like bundled her up in a blanket. And the nurse was like, just be mindful of body temp, dad, because the mom's body temperature will change based on the baby's body temperature and yours won't. And I literally went, ah. Like, shocked. How did wow. I not? I had to find that out in real time. The same mm-hmm. thing with the breast milk, where I was at, this was way, like, the baby was at least 3 months old, I think, but for the pediatrician was like, yeah, your breast milk during the day will become more, if you're out and it's hot, like, don't worry about water intake. We'd want to stay away from that. Your breast milk will change so that it's more hydrating. Just make sure you're latching her if you're like out and about. And I was like, why am I just I'm learning this right now. Why? Why? And I have no idea that this magical thing would happen.
Oh yeah. If you feed twins on either side and they study the breast milk after, the breast milk is different colors, different concentrations, because your body responds to the need of each individual.
That's wild.
Insane.
Yeah. Our body, like, boobies are magic. I'm just going to say that. Boobie magic. That's incredible. Body.
But it's mommy magic. Even if you're not breastfeeding I think that's an amazing thing that kind of like sums up what we were talking about at the beginning and what we're talking about now is like, you are a magical ass human being for, mm-hmm. And that's even if you're like not pregnant, if you are not a parent, I think just connecting with the body, what it can do, what it is, and taking care of like this thing that you live in that has these functions that we take for granted every day. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately we're not educated on. And even like, if you're trying to get pregnant, connecting with like the divineness of you, we don't learn about our uterus. We don't learn about a cervix. We don't learn about our cycles. We don't learn about how we like are synced up to the, I love astrology and all this stuff, like how we're synced up to these like cycles that are like purely amazing, magical, divine things. And we just take for granted sometimes. And I think, there's a lot of chaos and crazy and stress and just life we have to live. But I think, I'm grateful to just be on this podcast and have these conversations with you, because I think it just gives you a moment to just like be like, okay, this is a crazy thing to be doing and to be like a part of.
Yeah.
What is our wild thing?
Yeah. And
we talked about this. We talked about this in the fertility episode, but I cut it out because that episode was so long. But I have one fallopian tube. And when I had my miscarriage, they did an ultrasound and they were able to see that I had ovulated from the side that did not have a tube. So my side with the tube, my tube literally traveled to the other ovary, grabbed the egg, and brought it back to put it in that tube. Like, and my doctor told me that he has a patient who has only one fallopian tube on one side and only one ovary on the other. So one fallopian tube, one ovary on different sides. And she's had like 6 kids.
Which is insane. And while this was happening, while your body was doing this amazing thing, you were probably just watching cartoons with Bubba. Do you know what I mean? Like, your body was literally being an alien. Like, was just like, I'm going to do this. And we're just like, oh, okay. We're just, doing our thing. That's insane.
What's like extra crazy is like this cycle, I felt it. Like, I have wicked ovulation pain that I start, which I didn't even know was a thing. So like, cut to like me in the ER thinking my appendix is about to burst. And they're like, oh no, it's just ovulation pain. I'm like, what are you talking about? It was only after my miscarriage that I started having it. So like, I know every time I'm ovulating, which is great for like trying to have a kid, but like, it's 2 days of intense, like someone sticks a hot knife in your side. So whatever side I have the pain on, I know is the side that I'm ovulating from. Mm-hmm. So this month I was ovulating from the side without a tube, and I was laying in bed, and it was one of those moments where I woke up at like 3 a.m. and I felt like this, like, when your foot's asleep, that kind of feeling, like sparkly kind of feeling. I felt it travel across my lower stomach and then come back. And I was like, what in the hell? Like, and like, I didn't get pregnant this cycle, but like, isn't that crazy? Like that, like, even like once you start like identifying and like you said, like learning more about your body and what it can do, then you're like, oh yeah, no big deal. Just my one tube reaching over to go grab that egg.
Amazing.
It is. So it's crazy. So nuts. What a crazy and wild time. Well, I do want to wrap up. Because I want to, again, be respectful of everyone has lives, and we all have children too. Was there anything that we didn't touch on about breastfeeding or the episode in general that we wanted to say before we wrap?
No, I feel good. I feel like
I love it.
Complete.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yes.
I really appreciate you chatting with us and being vulnerable and the wisdom that you shared. It was so nice to get to sit and chat with you, which I just love in general. But yeah, it was great. And so can you share with us how people can find you, Shay, when they want to know all the things about you?
Yes. Yeah, so you can find, well, ditto. I've had an amazing time. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you both. I feel honored to be your guest. And if anyone wants to find me, you can go to shaylyons.com. And I offer, it is a birth support program. So I am with you pregnancy through birth, through postpartum, and really like what we talked about here, giving you knowledge and education, but also helping you connect with yourself and your intuition and just kind of being a touchstone throughout the whole process and a nurturing presence and just somebody to be with you throughout the journey. So that's something I'm really passionate about. And you can find all the information there.
Yeah. So I'm like,
I'm like, not me over here writing her website down for my next pregnancy.
That's so true.
And I know it, girl. I'm here for you.
I know I just said that I wanted to wrap, but Shay, one thing that I did want that you just reminded me of, Shay, is the idea of like intuition, like mom or parent intuition, breastfeeding and learning your baby's cry, that all that stuff is a skill set.
Yeah.
I came in, that would be one of my big expectation versus reality is that I blasted that baby out and I was like, I'll know everything. I'll know the cries. I'll know the breastfeeding. I'll know that. And I didn't know anything. Like, all of that is definitely a skill set. Learning the cry is something that you learn, the difference between the cries, and it could take weeks or months before you know that. Learning the breastfeeding is a learned skill. I definitely thought I was just going to be like, oh my God, that's a wet diaper cry. No, that did not happen for a very long time after the baby had arrived. It just sounded like crying.
It's all learning. It's learning every diaper change that you're like, okay, this went from black tar to now we're at like a mustard yellow to now we're at a like, it's like, I mean, there you go. It's every single day is learning. Even still now I'm learning new things every single day. And it's, it's like, you know, thank goodness for people like you and podcasts like this, because you realize like you're not alone in trying to survives those mom in the wild moments, but we all have them. And I feel like when we unite, it makes us stronger.
It absolutely does. And we can just take over the world probably, or fix it. Take over sounds real aggressive. We'll just fix all the problems as moms do.
You know, the feminine energy is needed now to rise and to be loud. So
everyone just do like our kids do and get a nipple in your mouth. All right. Solves all problems apparently.
Oh my gosh.
A consensual nipple in your mouth.
I did go over to my husband because he said, how'd you sleep last night? And I went and I just took both his nipples in my hands and just started like pinching them and squeezing them and pulling them. I go, oh no, how do you think I slept? How do you think I slept last night? Because it was this.
How would you sleep? Milk, 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 milk.
I will say if you're nursing and your kid is getting molars,
beware.
Prepare. It is.
Yeah. The baby now will do like a bite that she thinks is funny. It used to only happen when she was teething, where I could tell it's like, I didn't know, like, kind of like, oh, I'm in so much pain. And now she'll go, and then go, ha-ha. And I'm like, do you want to continue to nurse?
A teething episode from you guys would be good, I think, because that's a whole nother.
Put it in the books.
Mark it down.
Well, again, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, you coming on.
Shay, seriously though, thank you. It is such a privilege to talk to you. You are so professional and passionate and educated. And like every word that came out of your mouth, I was just entranced by. So I really appreciate you taking the time, because it's a real honor to have someone who's like a legit professional on this pod.
Yeah.
Be called the legit professionals. It's like, I mean, I love it. I listen to every episode. I'm not even just saying that. I honestly do every time it comes out. I'm like so excited to listen, and it's such an honor to be asked to be here. And like Kate, whenever the time comes, I'm like here for you. I'm sending you every good vibe.
Thank you. I will take it all. Something very exciting to announce this episode is we have merch. We're like legit podcasters. We have merch. It's so exciting.
Get yourself some merch. Wear it.
At the time of recording this, it could be more by the time you hear it, but we have beanies, a kid's shirt, wine tumblers, adult shirts, adult sweatshirt, adult
hoodie. Yeah. Get yourself ready for winter. Come on.
We have the most adorable kid shirt that says, I bring the wild. Like, come on.
And it's true. They do.
And yeah, it's so great. If you want to look into that, you can go to momsinthewild.com/shop. That's where you can find all of that. And yeah, I'm going to go buy some shit right now. Right. Same. After we're done recording.
I'm going to be in a hoodie, a sweatshirt, drinking wine. My child's going to be in that t-shirt. It's going to be great.
Awesome. Wearing the beanie.
You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at momsinthewild_pod.
Yes. And if you'd like to connect with us, you can do that on social. You can email us at connect@momsinthewild.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail. Let us know how much you love Shay. Let us know if you have any questions for her. If you're interested more in what she does, we'll happily pass that on. Shay's website and information will also be in the description of this episode, so you can find it there. But you can also call us and leave a voicemail at 878-CALL-MOM.
878-CALL-MOM.
If anyone has Q&A, lactation questions, doula questions, home birth questions, I'd love to come back again another time and maybe answer those if anybody like.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That we could do like a Q&A about anything that like people would want to talk to somebody about, but maybe don't want to like do a whole session and do a little Q&A or something. Yeah, yay, but I know there's a lot of questions about that stuff, so.
Oh gosh, that's an excellent idea.
Well, thank you guys for listening. This was a really fun one. I think that's it. Is that it?
That's it. That's all we got. We did it.
All right. As always, friends, it's a jungle out there.
Stay safe.
Bye.
We love you.